Good evening, everyone. Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the topic for consideration this evening is, are you working while it is day? Now, work is very much part and parcel of our lives. Even as a child, right, a child who is in school, right, will need to work hard in his studies. Right, so he has to work. Whether he likes it or not, right, he has to work. And even as we grow up, right, we leave school, we enter the workplace, well, we also have to work. We have to work to earn a living, and we have to work in order to have enough to sustain our body, and that is part of life. Now, even as those who are not working or who may be homemakers, well, you also have to work. Right? You have to work at home. You have to work to keep the home in order, and that is also part of your work. And even as you finish your employment, right, you have retired, does that mean that work is over? Of course not. You also have to work, right? But your work is now in different ways. Right? You work to take care of your grandchildren. You work to care for the home. You work in other means and other ways. And so work is very much part and parcel of life. In fact, whether believer or unbeliever, we all have to work. It just depends on what form of work and how we work. And so the question then is, why? Why are we working? Or what are we working for? Because knowing why we work is very important. Knowing why we work will dictate what we do as work. Knowing why we work will also dictate how we work. And the people of this world, they understand this concept very well. And so if you were to ask a person of this world, why are you working? He will say that it is so that I can earn money, so that I can be successful, so that I can provide for my family. All these will be answers that you will hear. They have an understanding of the why. They have an understanding of the purpose of why they work. But for the believer, we are not just talking about earthly reasons why we work. But for the believer, when we are saved by the Lord, and now we are called His servants, what it means is that our entire lives are to be lives used in the work of the Lord. In other words, everything that we do in this life, every work that we do, everything that we do that takes effort and energy, whether small or great, everything has to be done for the Lord. We are always working for the Lord. And so the question is not whether you are working for the Lord or not. If you are a believer, you are working for the Lord. You are His servant. But the question is whether are you a good worker who is working for the right things in the right way, or are you a bad worker working for the right things in the wrong way, or for the wrong things, pursuing after such wrong things? Right, that is the question. And so when we think about work, this is what we are speaking of. Working not so much just on the earthly plane, working not so much just in the physical sense, but our work for the Lord. The things that we do in this life, whether it is for the Lord or it is not. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, while He was on earth, He is really our example par excellence. He was the example for which we see how He worked for the Lord while He was on this earth. In everything that He did, He worked, and He worked the works of God who sent Him. And that is really where we get the title for our meditation this evening from verse 4. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And so we want to learn from the example of the Lord Jesus Christ how we must work. Why should we work? In what way should we work? What should we work for? And how can we work while it is still day? Okay, and so the first thing that we see from verses 1 to 3 is the purpose. In order for us to know why we work, right, we need to understand the purpose of are working, right? What is working for the Lord Jesus Christ, working for God the Father, supposed to be for? Well, the Bible tells us in this account. Now, in chapter 9, it begins a new section, and I believe for the subsequent messages, you will consider the rest of this chapter. But in this chapter, the Lord has now passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Right? So the Lord Jesus Christ saw a man who was blind. And specifically, this man was blind from his birth. Now, why is this important? Because it is not that he had eyesight and then he lost his eyesight. But he was born from his mother's womb, he already had lost his sight. He was unable, incapable of seeing even as a child, even as an infant. He has never seen before. And why is this significant? Well, we will see later. Because now the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ will ask him, right, in verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And so the disciples, seeing this blind man, seeing this man who was born blind, and this man, we are not told what he was doing in this particular instance, right? But remember that from the previous section, right, they were just around the temple area, right? And in the temple area, well, there will be many who were infirmed, who were sick, who would lay on the outside, outskirts of the temple. What for? Right, to beg. And because they were in need, they were infirmed, and as a result, they cannot work, and so they needed to beg for alms. And so they saw this man. And the disciples, they saw this man who was born blind, and then they asked Jesus, "Who did sin?" And so when the disciples saw this blindness, they came to a particular assumption and conclusion, right, that this man, his blindness is due to sin. Right, that is the assumption. Right, he's saying that in their minds, they are thinking that when they see this man is blind because of sin, and because of someone's sin, either the sin of the parents, right, that resulted in him being blind, or maybe his own sin, right, that resulted in his blindness, right, as a consequence for his sin. And the disciples concluded that it can only be one of these two reasons, right, and they presented the situation to the Lord Jesus Christ, because either way, right, whether you hold to the first reason, which is that this man sinned because of this man's sin that he was born blind, or whether it is because of the parents' sin that he was born blind, well, both positions would run into issues. Now, why? Well, because if they believe that it is because of this man's sin that he is born blind, right, you'll see a problem. When did his blindness start? Right, from his birth. So when did he commit the sin for the Lord to cause him to be blind? Right, there was no sin that he had committed that caused him to be blind. Right. So if you hold to the position that it is because of his sin that he is born blind, right, that runs into a problem, right? Because he was born blind. And that is also partly why the scriptures state specifically that he was born blind, right? This is an important information, right, that the Lord gives to us. Right? So it cannot be that it is because of his sin. Because what sin would he have committed before he was born? Right? Nothing. Then what about the second option? Right? Maybe it's the sin of his parents, right, that caused him to be blind. Right? But this also runs into another issue. Right, because this would go against what the scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 18. And because in Ezekiel chapter 18, the Bible describes how the Lord will not punish the sins of the fathers upon the children. Right, the son will not bear the sin of the father. And the whole chapter, Ezekiel chapter 18, speaks about how if the father sins, and then if the son sees the father sin, and now he avoids sin, right, then will the Lord judge the son? Of course not. And likewise also, if the father has lived holy, and then the son now runs against how the father has lived, then of course, the Lord will judge the Son, right? Will not judge the Father. And so that is the scenario that the Lord Jesus Christ was presented with. Right? So cannot be the sin of the man because he didn't commit sin before he was born. And cannot be the parents because this would go against what the scripture says, right? This would be unjust. Right? How can God punish someone else, right, for your sin? Right? How can God punish your son for your own sins? And so that's why the disciples, right, having this predicament, right, they brought it before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what did the Lord Jesus Christ answer? What did he respond? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And so the Lord Jesus Christ arrested the issue at its heart. Right? The problem with this man's blindness was not because of sin, as the disciples supposed. Right? The disciples thought that it's because of sin, somebody's sin, that resulted in this man's blindness. Right? But Jesus, right at the outset, said that it was not because of any man's sin. Not this man's sin, not his parents' sin, that this particular situation has resulted. And this is something that is very insightful. Right? Because not every adverse situation, not everything that is bad that happens in our lives is necessarily because of sin. Yes, can it be because of sin? Well, scripture does give an answer that yes, it can be because of sin, because of God's chastisement. Right? But it doesn't then mean that every evil, every bad thing that happens in our life is therefore a result of sin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear here. It was not because of this man's sin. It was not because of his parents' sin. But nevertheless, God in his sovereignty has made this man blind for what cause? The Bible says that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, what does this mean? That the works of God should be made manifest in him. The meaning here is that the purpose of why this man was made blind was so that God will be glorified through the work that the Lord Jesus Christ will do on this man. Right? And that's what it means. Right? He will, the works of God, right, that Jesus will do on this man, right, it should be made manifest, right? It will be made known to the world. And when the Lord Jesus Christ later on, right, and subsequently in the coming messages, as you study about how the Lord Jesus Christ will heal this man, right, and in the healing of this man, the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. Right, and ultimately, God the Father is glorified. And so this was why God the Father, in his sovereignty, allowed this man to be born blind. And that was what the disciples had to understand. Now, how does this thought link back to what we want to consider, which is concerning working? Right? We must understand that as God the Father sovereignly permitted this man to be blind, so that the Lord Jesus Christ can work the work of God in this man, so that God can be glorified, we must understand also that just as the purpose of God for the infirmity of this man is for his glory, the work of Christ is also purposed by God for his glory. And let me say that again. Right? Two things need to happen at the same time. Right? This man has to be born blind, right? But that is not enough. The Lord Jesus Christ has to work the works of God so that ultimately God the Father, his name is glorified. And so God in his sovereignty permitted this man to be born blind for what purpose? So that God will be glorified. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on this earth, he had to work the works of God so that in his working of healing this blind man, God will be glorified. So in other words, the purpose of why the Lord Jesus Christ worked the works of God was so that God the Father, his heavenly Father, will be glorified. And likewise, this is the purpose of our work. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, he worked the works of God, we also are called to work for the Lord. And the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ worked on this earth was so that the Father may be glorified, and this we see not just only in this instance, but throughout the Gospels. How the Lord Jesus Christ said, "My meat is to do the will of my Father which is in heaven." And that was his whole driving principle, that God will be glorified, that God's work will be done. And so likewise also, we, being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we too must work the works of God while we are still on this earth. And this working the works of God, well, yes, it includes service. When we think about working for the Lord, working the works of God, we may immediately think about service. We may think about worshipping the Lord. We may think about coming for fellowship group meetings, for Bible studies, to study God's Word. And yes, these things will be included. But it is not just about service. When we work the works of God, it is not just confined to the things that we do in church. But working the works of God includes the duties and the responsibilities that God has called us to, whereby we have a duty to fulfill, duty to the Lord to fulfill. Whether as parents, you have a duty to the Lord to work as parents, right, to care for your children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Whether as grandparents, you have a duty also to your children and to your grandchildren. Whether as employees, you have a duty to fulfill, not just to your boss, but to be a witness and a testimony in where the Lord has placed you. Right, that is your work. And so anything that we do, not just the things in church, and also not just the big responsibilities that we have, right, but everything, the little things that we do, the little things that we decide to do from day to day, every single thing that we do in this life must be done for the Lord. Now, how do we know this? The Lord Jesus Christ himself, his entire life was a work for his Father. And not only so, when we see in the epistles, the Apostle Paul says that whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all for the glory of God. Right? That is our work. That whether we are eating, we eat to the glory of God. That is our work. Whether we are drinking, we drink unto the glory of God. Whatsoever we do unto the glory of God. And that is how we work the works of Him that He has entrusted to us. Everything we do must glorify God. And how does it glorify God? Well, firstly, it must be done in accordance to God's Word. Right? Only that which is in accordance to God's Word will glorify God. Right? So make sure that we do the right things, right? We do the right works. But that is only one part of working the works of God. Because working the works of God, it is not just external. It's not just doing the right things. Because if you understand the purpose, that these works that I do are to glorify God, then you will have also the right heart, the right perspective, the right motivation, even as you work the works of God. And so let me say that again. Working for the Lord, being busy in the work of the Lord, it is not just the fulfilling of the mere externals, but it involves the heart. And how do we know this? Well, because in verse 4, right, the Lord Jesus Christ will here express his heart as he worked. And so knowing the purpose, right, the reason why we are here to work the works of God is for God's glory, right, to honor God's holy name, right, to bring glory to his name, then with what heart should we work? Well, you look at what the Lord Jesus Christ expressed in verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in answering the disciples, right, he said that this blind man, right, is not because of sin, but so that God's name will be glorified as the work of God is made manifest in him. And then now Jesus goes on to say that I must work the work. Right, so this is the work that I must fulfill for God's name to be glorified. And what does this statement that he says, I must work the works of him that sent me, what does it reveal about the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as he worked? Well, firstly, we see the heart of necessity. Jesus says that I must work. And this word must is a very significant word in the Bible. Because this word must doesn't just speak of something that you know he needs to do, or just something that you know is good that he does it. But this word must has the idea of a divine obligation. So again, it's not just I need to do it, lah, I need to do it. But it is a divine obligation, meaning that God the Father has instructed him to do this, and therefore, because of this command from God Almighty, he will do it. He must do it. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. It is not an option. It is not something that he just says that, okay, I will try to do it. But it was something that he must do, because this is what God the Father has commanded me to do. Right? Just as a command from a king cannot be disobeyed. How much more so the command from the King of Kings, the command from God Almighty, it cannot be disobeyed. And so the Lord Jesus Christ understood that if God the Father is the one who has commanded him to do this, then I must work the works of him that has sent me. This was the heart of necessity. He cannot do otherwise. He needed, indeed, he really needed to fulfill it. A necessity. Now, when we think about our lives, and if I were to ask you, what are some of the necessities of life? You'll realize that actually a lot of things in our lives are not really necessities. And so what can you think about, or what can you think of when I ask you, what are the necessities of life? Maybe you, the three basic things, right? Air, food, water. Okay, then after that, and maybe, okay, clothing, right? Maybe it's a necessity in that sense. Then, what else? Okay, maybe you include a house, a home over your head. Well, not exactly a necessity, but, well, it is important to have, right? Then, the more you go down, you realize that actually, our necessities are actually quite few. Right? Most of the things are comforts and wants. Right? Very few things are actually necessities. But you know, one of the necessities of the Lord Jesus Christ is that I must work the works of him that sent me. That means I don't have a house. This is a necessity, right? That's what a necessity is, right? Even if I don't have a house, even if I don't have all these things, right? I don't have a phone, I don't have anything. I need food, air and water, right? That's what I need. That's my necessity. And for the Lord Jesus Christ, this was his necessity. Right? That I cannot have anything else. But I need this. And what is this? I need to work the works of him that sent me. And that was his mindset. That was his heart. That because God has given me, entrusted me this responsibility, has called me to work the works of him that has sent me, therefore, I will work. Therefore, it is a necessity. I can let go of everything else, but this one I cannot let go of. It's as good as saying, if I don't do this, it is as good as I might as well die, right? Because that's what a necessity is. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had this heart of knowing who is the one who has called him and his duty and his responsibility and his necessity to fulfill this call. Now, do you see your calling as such? And when I say calling, it's not just about a full-time calling, right? But do you see your calling at home as such? Do you see your calling in the workplace as such, that as long as the Lord has placed me here, what the Lord has called me to do is to be his witness. And if I can let go of everything else, but this one thing I cannot let go, that I must be his witness. That I must impact others for Christ. That I can lose my monetary possessions. That I can lose all these other things. But this one thing I cannot lose. I'm doing God's work. Now that was the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart of necessity. And from this heart of necessity flowed also his heart of obedience. And because when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I must work the works of him that has sent me, or that sent me, he said that it is something that he must do because God the Father is the one that has sent him. Right? And when God the Father sent him to this earth, God the Father sent him to do something. Right? The Lord, God in heaven, didn't just send the Lord Jesus Christ on earth for nothing. There was a purpose, there was a reason, there was a work for the Lord Jesus Christ to do. And so the Lord Jesus Christ understood that aspect, right, of him being sent by the Lord. That he was on a mission, that he had a purpose to fulfill. And God the Father is the one who had sent him. And so he was willing to fulfill the work that God had given to him. Right? Here the Bible says he must work the works of God. And the idea here also is that these are the works of God. Right? You can imagine maybe there are 10 things that God wanted Jesus to do on that day. And the Lord says, I will work the works of him. 10 things he commands, 10 things I will do. 20 things he commands, 20 things I will do. Not one less. Right? That is the picture here, that he works the works of God that has sent him. And so all that God had commanded him to work, he works likewise. And that was the extent of his obedience. Right? That not one thing was left out. All the works that were entrusted to Christ to do, he fulfilled. So Jesus was not just content to work some of the works, right? Or even most of the works. He worked all the works. Everything he did was in obedience to the Lord. And so that was his heart of obedience. Right? That I will not leave anything out. And for us, right, sometimes we like to leave things out. And we know that the Lord has commanded us to do all these things. And maybe we do 80% or 90%. Oh, we feel very good already. Well, you see, well, thank God today is a good day, right? Because I obey 90%. Right? Maybe 10%, yeah, here and there, one or two things I feel, never mind. But that was not the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He worked all the works that the Lord had sent him to do. And that's what we must learn as well. Do not be content with mediocrity. Do not be content with just doing the bare minimum. In fact, there's no bare minimum. Bare minimum is perfect obedience. Right? That's what the Lord demands of us. And so this was the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. A heart of obedience. But not only a heart of obedience, a heart of necessity, a heart of obedience, but also a heart of diligence. Right? Because he says, I must work the works of him that has sent me. And the idea of working here describes that which is laborious, that which takes effort. In other words, to work in such a manner, the Lord Jesus Christ had to sacrifice. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ had to choose to do certain things and choose not to do certain things. In fact, this is what we see also in the life of Christ. Well, there were times in his life that it was night. It was time for rest. But then, the people came to be healed. And so the Lord laid aside his rest and healed the people. There were times also that the Lord Jesus Christ, though it was still in the wee hours of the morning, he got up early to pray. He sacrificed. He put aside, in that sense, the comfort of his flesh, but instead, so that he can honor and obey the Lord, to work the works of God that has sent him. And so likewise, this will also require us to sacrifice. It requires a commitment. We cannot be lazy. It will require hard work. Jesus was willing to travel and to go where his Father wanted him to go. He sacrificed rest and sleep. He sacrificed his bodily needs at times. And all this just to do the work of his Father that was entrusted to him. And we must follow in his footsteps. Are we committed to doing the works of God? To what degree is our commitment? Are we willing to sacrifice our own needs? Are we willing to sacrifice our own comforts? Are we willing to sacrifice sleep? Are we willing to sacrifice rest? Well, that is what is required for us to work the works of God. And it begins with the heart. I remember what we said earlier. Working the works of God is not just external. It's not just I come for everything. I make sure I'm present. My attendance is perfect. Equals I'm working the works of God. No. attendance doesn't mean that you are working the works of God. It must begin with the heart. Yes, it's important to come. It is important to attend. It is important to study God's word. I'm not discounting these things. But if you are thinking that just because I come, just because I attend, equals I'm working the works of God, then we must understand that that is not what Scripture says. Right? Scripture says that the heart is important. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ did not just, okay, God asked me to do this, okay, I do law. Right? God asked me to do this, okay, I just go, I heal the man. That's all. Right? I did my job. Thank you. Next thing. Right? No, that was not his heart. His heart was a heart of love for God the Father, a heart of diligence, a heart to work, a heart of necessity, a heart of responsibility, a heart of diligence. And that is the same heart that we must have. Why are we working the works of God? Is it just for self? Is it just for self-glory? Is it just so that we can say that we are working the works of God? Or are we working the works of God truly in the heart for the glory of God, for His pleasure? So much so that we are willing to yield our entire lives to Him as how the Lord Jesus Christ did. That is what it means to work the works of Him that has sent me. So, working the works of God begins with the right heart. With the right heart, then what will flow from this right heart, right motives, and then also the right works. Right? The works that we discussed earlier. Right? Works that are in accordance to God's word. And we must get it right. I don't think that there is still time. I don't think that, you know, I still have time to get it right. I may not have been working the works of God all this while, but maybe next year. Because the Lord Jesus Christ understood the time to work. And that's what verses 4 to 5, the second part of verse 4 and verse 5 tells us. Right, that there is a time to work. And the Lord Jesus Christ used an illustration to help us to understand this truth. Right, he said, He must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, daytime is the time for working. And now, of course, in our modern age of technology, right, now work also is in the night, right? Because we have light, right? We can see, right? We have computers, we can work even at night. Right? But in those days, right, when without all this modern technology, right, daytime is for working. Right? Where do they work? They work in the fields. Right? So if you don't have the sun, right, they cannot see anything, right, they cannot do anything in the field. Right? And so daytime was the time for them to work. And because there is daylight, right, because they can see, therefore they work. And then when night comes, night is the time for the cessation of work. Right? Night is the time for rest. Night is when there is no more light. Right? In those days, they only have oil lamps, and oil lamps are very dim. Right? It's not sufficient light to do any work. And so when night comes, work stops, right? No more work. And so the Lord Jesus Christ used this picture to help us to understand the limited aspect of time to work, and also the urgency with which we need to work. And the idea of a limited time, right, is what we also understand from the illustration. Right? When the Lord Jesus Christ says, I must work while it is day. There are only a certain number of hours in the day. Right, once the day is over, you cannot say, please, I'm not done yet. Right? Maybe just give me one more hour. Right, no. When the day ends. Right? The time is up. Time is limited. And the Lord Jesus Christ understood this. He knew that He only had a certain amount of time on earth. And all the work that He had to do had to be done within this time frame. Right? These few hours in the day. And for the Lord Jesus Christ, His time to work, limited time to work, was 33 and a half years. No more, no less. And when His time is up, His time is up. Right? The work that He had to do had to be done, had to be finished. And so the Lord Jesus Christ understood that time is limited. Right? I have no time to waste. I have no time to just relax. Because at every moment, I need to work the works of Him that has sent me, because time is limited. And because time is limited, He also understands that it is urgent. Right? Work must be done urgently. You cannot wait. Time is limited. time is precious. And so Jesus understood that there can be no tardiness, there can be no delay, there can be no procrastination. He had to utilize all his waking moments to work the works of God. And that is what it means when we talk about the time to work. It is limited, it is urgent. And did Jesus treasure this time? Well, of course he did. In verse 5, the Bible says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, we often take this verse more in the context of what comes after. Right? But nevertheless, right, it is important to understand why Jesus said this in light of the immediate context of working the works of God. Right? Remember, he was saying that his time is limited. Right? The day is very short. Right? The day will one day end, will at one point end, and the night will come and I cannot work anymore. And then the next thing he says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Why did he say that? Right? This really brings back to what is said before. As long as I am in the world, what does that mean? Well, that means that there will come a point in time whereby he will no longer be in the world, right? So, for the time that he is still in the world, he is the light of the world. Right? You understand? Right? So, that coupled with what we have discussed before, right, this is what it means. Right? When the Lord Jesus Christ, I must work the works of him that has sent me. And he says, it is now day, I have to work because the night will come and I cannot work anymore. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And so that's what Jesus was saying here. And so Jesus understood that his time was limited. And because his time was limited, so long as he is on this earth still, he will be the light of the world. And well, we do not have the time to go into detail what Jesus, the full extent of what Jesus meant when he says that he is the light of the world. Right, but just very simply and very briefly, when Jesus says that he is the light of the world, what he means is that he is the one who enlightens, right, who calls to see who God is, and the way of salvation. He is the one who brings salvation to the world. Right, that is what the light of the world means. Right, the light to enlighten mankind. Right, the light to cause mankind to see the spiritual truths of the gospel and of Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ knew that so long as he is on this earth, this is what he had to do. He has to be the light of the world, because there will come a point in time whereby his time will be up. He will have to leave this world and he will no longer be the light of the world in that same sense. And that is where, elsewhere in scripture, the Bible tells us that now we have to be the little lights, right? We have to be his witnesses after the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven, right? He's no longer on this earth being a light to the world physically, presently in our midst. But we as his disciples now have to fulfill that mission. And so the Lord Jesus Christ truly treasured his time on earth. It was limited. And so he urgently sought to do the will of God. And just as a side note, when I say urgently, it doesn't mean that he was anxious. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ was always at the right place at the right time. Right? He was always doing the work of God, everything that the Lord wanted him to do at the right time, in the right place. Right? So urgency, not in the sense that he was anxious or worried, right, but urgency in the sense that he knew that this is what he had to do and he did it. And also, he treasured the time. He made sure that he used the time that had been given to him to fulfill his mission, right, to be the light to the world. And we too also have a limited time on earth. Now, I know that I think save the children, I think I'm the youngest one in this room. Right, but even as I grow older, but not so old yet, I start to feel it already. You know, my knees are starting to hurt more, and my back is starting to hurt more, my shoulders are hurting more. So, and every time when I carry Shiloh and try to put her to sleep, well, my knees really feel it. Right, and I didn't feel like that before. I was still thinking like last time, well, I can run 2.4, I can still do all these things, but now different already, right? Now cannot already. Not in the same way. Right? Because, well, our bodies, they will age, right? And our time is limited. And the Bible tells us that on an estimate where we have 70 to 80 years, but that is no guarantee. Right? It's not guaranteed that you will have 70 or 80 years. Right? And we know that death can come at any time. And then all the more, you know, for the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sense, touching his divine nature, he knew when his time was come, right, his time for death was at, Right? But for us, we do not know. And all the more, we should be then urgent. Right? To know that death can come at any time. It can come tonight. It can come tomorrow. We do not know. And so all the more, with whatever time we have right now, we must ensure that we work the works of God, that we obey Him, that we be His witnesses, that we fulfill the responsibilities and the duties that He has given to us. We must treasure it, treasure every hour, every moment. We cannot be lazy, we cannot delay. And we also know that not just only for those who are nearing 70 or 80, but for all of us, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And we know that any time He will come. And we see the signs of His coming being fulfilled more and more each day. And we know that His coming is near. And so if that is the case, if we know that our time is limited, then how much more should we work? And how much harder should we work? And this is something that even children understand, right? When children, I also was a child once, right? When we are called, we have homework to do, and then our parents leave the home and say, okay, by the time I come back, right, make sure you finish your homework. And so what does the child do? Okay, first 10 minutes. Okay, play. Okay, on TV, watch TV, or do other things. Go and play. Okay, then last 5 minutes. Oh, parents coming back already. Okay, quickly. Right, parents call and say, okay, I'm coming back. I'm leaving now. Then, okay, quickly finish. Try to do as much as you can. Right, because you know your time is limited, right? You have to work hard. Right, of course, that's the wrong way, okay? So children who are listening, don't do that, right? Children, you must work hard and do your best, not for your parents, but for the Lord. Yeah, but the point is that when we know that time is ending, right? Time is limited, right? We will work hard, right? We will do our best. And that is what the Lord calls us to do. Right? Time is limited, and therefore we must work. And so work is part and parcel of life, but for the Christian, and work is now for the Lord. Everything that we do on this earth is work for the Lord. So whether in your employment, whether at home, whether in the church, or even in the little things like eating or drinking or whatsoever you do, everything you do is for the Lord. And so the question is, in all these things, in all these decisions, in all these things that you do, are you doing what the Lord wants you to do? Is it pleasing in the sight of the Lord? Now know that time is limited, so treasure it. Right? Don't waste the time for you to honor and to fulfill what the Lord wants you to do on earth. And so may the Lord help us to grant us a heart, the hands, like the Lord Jesus Christ, right, to work the works of God while we still have breath, while we still have life, right, to fulfill the duty that He has given to us to be His witnesses where He has called us to be. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee that we as Thy blood-bought children can follow in His example. Lord, we are so weak, for we know our own sinful tendencies. We know how prone we are to failing Thee, how prone we are to fulfilling the own desires of our own flesh instead of working the works that Thou hast entrusted to us. O Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for when we have been tardy in our work for Thee, and when we have neglected the duties that Thou hast entrusted to us. And Father, we pray that You will help us, that we will be diligent to work the works that Thou hast entrusted to us to do, that we, in doing so, may glorify Thee and honor Thee, and bring praise and glory to Thy holy name, and that others, in seeing the work that we do, will also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify Thee in heaven. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.